Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Hit me like a bomb.
Well, Dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
We're 30 seconds until kickoff on the 98.5, the Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network, and surprisingly, no one has seen Bill Belichick.
This is crazy, Bob. I mean, he's the first guy that's always on the field, ready to go, first guy to have his team ready. And oh, my God, what the hell is that?
All the lights have just gone off in Gillette Stadium. Wait a minute. There's now one lone spotlight shining on an older gentleman who looks to be dressed as Superman. He's now sliding down some zip line from the 300 section as Living on a Prayer begins to play over the loudspeakers.
It's like Richie Sambora. Look out, Bob. It looks like Bill Belichick has got Bon Jovi.
Unreal. Bill has now landed onto a stage with exploding pyro and smoke. Gigantic letters behind him flashing, Kiss My Ring. Nick to crack a smile.
This is great, Bob Belichick. Play some Sugar on Me.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. This is my first time in the new station.
First time not the first time. I actually had to sit in your spot when we had Welker and all those guys in because there's just a million people.
Right.
But essentially, this is the first time that any of that stuff in front of you has been used, so...
The one that Hardy says is completely unnecessary.
Well, I mean, that's because he maybe, you know, just because he doesn't understand the complexities of what you do,
right,
doesn't mean that it's unnecessary. It just means his small, feeble mind is not able to comprehend the type of technical things that we dig into on the Toucher and Rich Show.
See, that's what I like to go with,
mm-hmm,
is that he's stupid and I'm smart.
Right. It's a smart board. It's what we call it.
Yeah. So I was in Tennessee at my parents' house. I went for quite some time. And I always like to give myself a buffer day. And yeah, Tuesday explains why. Is that we had an 11:30 in the morning flight to Philadelphia, which tells you all you need to know right there, Johnny Wall game.
Oh, my God.
And then so...
One of the worst four airports in America.
And
easily.
So I get an email that says that our flight has been delayed, but it's like, it says, the email says Philadelphia to Philadelphia, 2 minutes difference. So I don't know why you fly Philadelphia to Philadelphia, but there's a 2 minutes difference. So we continue on the way to the airport.
Nice.
Yeah.
Then a little closer to the airport, I get a call saying that the flight from Philadelphia is delayed and you're going to miss your connection. And the next available flight is at 9:45 in the evening, to which we have no other option but to take it because everything else was full. Then that flight doesn't take off until about 10:30. 11:30.
An hour and 45 minute delay?
We get home at like 1:45 in the morning. And yesterday I just was like, my son wanted to play, you know, they don't have a camp this week. My son wanted to play video games, and I was legit too tired to do that. Like, every time I laid down and shut my eyes, I would immediately fall asleep.
Oh, sure.
Like, I would not have been able to come into work. This happens to nobody else. I have friends who travel twice, three times a week for work.
Is it you or is it Tennessee? Is it the fact that it's like when you go to Tennessee, you can't like fly direct and there's a million different things that, you know, could go wrong when you're going from one city to the next and it's not that big of an airport? Like, is it you or is it Tennessee? Like, does this happen when you're flying to, you know, another city like Chicago or wherever you go that has direct flights?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It just doesn't happen.
You're just cursed.
No, this happens actually all the time. Well, of course. I have all those stupid Spirit Airline flights that I've taken.
Right. Like, you hit a gypsy caravan at some point in your life and just were cursed with bad travel.
Yeah.
When that happened.
It's ridiculous. I don't understand why this only happens to me. I have I have friends who travel 3 days a week. I go, it must suck when you're trapped overnight somewhere. They're like, we're never trapped overnight anywhere. Like, that doesn't happen. And they fly into little-ass places, too.
Well, because they fly all the time, though, they probably got that kick-ass medallion status that gets them on planes that you can't get on.
Well, that kick-ass medallion status doesn't create a flight.
Well, in one case, my wife was stuck. She went to New Orleans with a couple friends, and the plane was having some sort of issue. So they replaced it with a smaller plane, and they just picked all of the people who had medallion status to be able to fly out on that one. And she wasn't able to fly out, well, they originally told her, for another 2 days.
Yeah.
They couldn't get her out. So, I mean, like, in cases like that, those are those people who, like, you know, just get chosen. They're the chosen ones who get ahead of
you.
Well,
that's happened last summer on the way to Tennessee, is that my wife and my daughter and then myself and my son had to go and split up. And my wife didn't get back into Tennessee for 2 days. She was trapped for 2 days in Philadelphia, of course.
To where everyone gets trapped.
So I saw my father-in-law, Jesus. Had a lovely meal.
Mm-hmm.
And did not get in until, and then there's nothing like thinking you're going to have to, when you leave for the airport at like 9:15 in the morning and then don't get home until 1:15 in the, at night. That really makes you feel good. So now my throat hurts and I'm all worn down.
Did you get to see the Yadro clown collection that he has?
We did not go to his house. We met him in South Philadelphia.
All right, so you did not get, the kids were not angry, although the kids are older now. They're not going to want to play with the Yadro clowns.
No, they never had to. If you don't know what a Yadro clown is, it's like porcelain clown.
Yeah, it's all the sad hobo, right?
There's sometimes the hobo's okay. I mean, sometimes it's not even a hobo. Sometimes it's a regular clown who's perfectly professional. That's working all the time.
It's not the one who's just perpetually upset. He's got the face like, yeah, I've got some horrible disease.
Well, yeah, there's leprosy clown where right. On the bottom is his hand.
Right.
No, I'm not going to lie.
A lot of
them are holding knapsacks. And, of course. You know, it's a stick with a handkerchief around it.
Right. Inside is a human head of a guy that they stabbed for a sandwich the day before.
But, I mean, thank God that we're in Philadelphia. I mean, we would have been at the airport for, 8 hours or something ridiculous. Not quite 8 hours, but I mean, just sitting there with kids. Oh,
your worst travel, if I remember correctly, you vacationed in Florida and somehow wound up overnight in Cincinnati. Do I remember that correctly?
It was Cincinnati, yeah. And I ran out of clothes, so I had to buy a bunch of clothes from the airport.
How did you wind up in Cincinnati again?
They were trying to stay ahead of the storm, and they were like, all right, because I got myself into one of those places, like the Diamond Club or whatever the hell it is, where they give you free drinks. And the only reason I did it is because you can talk directly to the customer service people without having to wait in line. And we had this whole plan to stay ahead of the weather, and, you know, this was going to be ingenious. And ultimately, that never happened. You're screwed. So, yeah, every time I travel, something happens. Yeah, it is Knoxville. I don't know why Knoxville Airport. You can fly there from Newark, JFK, Chicago, Philadelphia, Charlotte, Denver, places in Florida.
Sure.
Boston doesn't fly anywhere. Unless you're going overseas, you don't fly anywhere. You can't get anywhere. You can only get to Chicago, Detroit, and like the Chicago, Detroit, and anywhere in Atlanta. Those are the three places.
Those
that
the
you
ones
can get
they go to, right? And maybe Orlando.
Well, of course, for a measly $5 billion a ticket, you can make it down to Orlando.
That is true. You know, I went to go visit my mother a couple months ago. Maybe it was like a month ago. And they misplaced our luggage, so they told me at the airline that there was this app that you could get where you could follow where your luggage was the next day when it got flown in and it was going to be coming to me. I was like, okay, great. So I signed up for this app and I get a notice that my luggage is on the way. It has left the airport. I think we had flown into like Savannah to go see my mother. And I'm like, great. So I go on the app and it's kind of like Uber. You can see where the car is. leaving the airport. And I was like, this is awesome, Mary. Check this out. He's going to probably be at our place in like 15, 20 minutes. Meanwhile, we're wearing the same clothes that we wore the day before because we have no luggage. So I'm like, this is awesome. So I'm sitting around at my hotel waiting to leave to do anything because this guy's going to be there. I see the car on the app pull into a Starbucks, and he proceeded to stay there for 4 hours.
I'm feeling the Starbucks was just a ruse to some sort of massive sexual affair.
You could have taken an Uber over there and gotten your luggage that way.
4 effing hours the guy stayed there. And so after like 45 minutes, I'm like, he's not moving. He's not going. I don't know what's happening here. Either he's, you know, just taking his time or taking the biggest dump possible, but he is not going anywhere. So I ended up like going out and about, and I got back to the hotel. Like I went, like I had a nice like lunch with my mother and did all this stuff, and I got by the hotel, and he was still sitting at the damn Starbucks.
Yeah, I'm guessing that that was more of a crack related thing.
It could be. Right, he had a couple deals to make along the way,
or just he was enjoying crack,
just having crack.
Yeah, that's what he was doing. He decided to have a nice day of crack.
It's crack break.
That's right. All right. Well, it is. I'm back. You are going tomorrow.
I am. I am going to a video game, Video Armageddon tonight, which is good. By the way, tomorrow night, it's going to be broadcast on ESPN.
Yeah.
This thing I'm going to. I think it's the first primetime esports thing that they've ever done. I guess it could be like the Disney XD network's doing it too. There's another one, like three different networks, I think, are broadcasting this Overwatch finale.
I'm telling you, that is the future of What the kids that are alive now, that's what they're going to be watching when they get older, because that's all they talk about.
Dude, they sold 20,000 tickets to watch 8 people play a video game within 20 minutes.
Yeah, you're going to start to be able to see that in every city. I'm going to be gone Monday. So, and then that's it for me. Then I'm here. All right, what do we got coming up, Rich, in the stack?
Alex Cora is pissed at how things were handled out in Baltimore. On top of that, Jimmy Garoppolo speaks. We will get to all of that.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble and horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Fred, it's as if the Red Sox knew you were returning this morning.
Benintendi at 302, 14 home runs, lays into that one. Jackson deep, back it goes.
Salami.
High, deep drive. Left field, Mancini back turning. There's another one.
Oh, Mancini. Watch that one fly.
First reaching on the walk. There's a high fly ball. Deep left.
Mancini
back all the way to the wall.
You were one of the chicks on Just One of the Guys. Now look at it go.
Who was on Just One of the Guys?
Mancini. She was the one who was in, I believe, in the back of the car. She was probably the best looking one. She was in the back of the car with Ronald. You don't recall that?
No, I didn't know the character's name, but yes.
Cindy Mancini.
Is that her name? I know the scene of which you speak. Don't get me wrong. I just don't
only
remember
one other
the name of the character.
Quite as pretty.
Yes, that's correct. I remember that scene very well. Watched
just
it many
one
times.
Of the guys.
Just that scene.
Yeah. Yep. Well, Andrew Benintendi, Mookie Betts, and J.D. Martinez each hit a salami, and then all of a sudden it's as if they never happened. With a 5-0 lead with two outs in the second inning, the rain started pouring, causing a 2-hour rain delay, leading to the game being called eventually, and each one of those home runs raced right off the books. This is the second time this series that there was heavy rain within the first several minutes of the game, and Alex Cora, for one, was pretty pissed about how everything was handled. He said to reporters, quote, "I feel for the team. I don't care about the home runs. We had a 5-0 lead, and we have one of the horses on our mound. It's not that it's a guaranteed win, but we know where we're at, and every game matters. I'm annoyed about the whole 3-game series." He said, honestly, it was tough. Rick Porcello had to wait for a while in the game with two outs in the first inning, and it was a rain delay. Someone asked, you're upset with how Baltimore handled it? And he said, whoever handled it, yeah. They said, well, what should they have done? He said, not started it. Well, as we know, it's up to the umpires to call the status of the game once it starts, but it is the Orioles' decision as the home team to start those games in the first place.
Yeah.
You would think they would have access to a weather map. It's one thing.
They do. They do have access to a weather map.
It's one thing that if it was the fourth or fifth inning this happened, but like the first, what was it, two games ago, it was in the first inning that it happened, and last night it was the second inning. That's ridiculous. I actually think Cora's got a pretty good point.
And I agree with you, but look at the facts. I mean, Buck Showalter, for some reason, just hates playing the Red Sox, has a thing for beating the Red Sox and messing with them. And don't forget the GM of the Baltimore Orioles is Dan Duquette, who flamed out here famously. I think there is something to all of this. And, you know, David Price is a perfect example. Price apparently was really angry. He got a 1-2-3 first, looked real good, and then never got a chance to pitch again. You know, the conspiracy theorist in me thinks, okay, Price pitches tonight, doesn't pitch tomorrow night. He would have been pushed off and not skipped. The way the rotation sits right now, because they just added Eovaldi, who we'll get to in a second, Price is scheduled to pitch a week from Sunday against the Yankees. If he gets pushed off that one day, he doesn't have to pitch against the Yankees next week.
Is there an ability to answer the phones in the new studios?
That's a good point. It has kind of been ringing for a while.
No, unfortunately, that's a human problem.
No, it's gone.
They hung up and rang so long. So whoever that is, yeoman guy, call back, please, 617-779-0985. I mean, it's been...
I just noticed that Bird had to do, like, his back was to me, and then he had to physically turn around to a new computer.
I see.
I mean, answer the phones.
You know, it was funny. It was like, you know, Nick came in half dead that last week. He returned. He's back.
Yes, I saw that.
And he still was able to just kind of pick things up immediately. Well, maybe Bird will just need a little more time to get that done.
But I was at a Cardinals Red Sox game one time, and they delayed it and delayed it and delayed it for about 3 hours, and it never rained.
Oh, I remember. Okay, they've done that a few times. But that specific game, I remember, because everyone's like, "When is it actually going to rain?"
And then you would look on your phone at where the weather patterns were, and there was no rhyme or reason for it not starting.
Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous.
If you know a big pocket of rain is coming, and it was obvious, I mean, anybody could just flip on their Weather Channel app and see this big glob of green and red and yellow coming towards Baltimore. The Orioles should have known not to start that game last night, just like they should have known not to start it when you have a rain delay in the bottom of the first inning. There's no excuse for that.
Well, the game will likely be replayed when the Red Sox come back to Baltimore next. They have an off day on August 13th together, so that's more than likely when they're going to make that up. And the Red Sox are able to fill a desperate need yesterday by making a trade for a starter. They acquire Nathan Eovaldi from the Rays for AAA starter Jalen Beeks, who we saw a couple weeks ago on the mound. Yavaldi's having a bounce-back season from Tommy John surgery. He's 3-4 this season with a 4.26 ERA. So he'll do right there where Stephen Wright, Eduardo Rodriguez was, or maybe they'll just give him anyone to
Sunday.
Starts,
let's go Sunday.
Which would be nice. So he's going to be... So hang on. He's going to be on Sunday?
Yes, yeah. He's pitching this Sunday.
Okay. So
and he's a right-hander they desperately need, and he's got good velocity, and they don't control him after this season, so good for them.
Yeah. Now that, well, they didn't give up anything for him.
I'm saying that they don't control him after this season.
You didn't like the
literally
beak?
Good for them.
You didn't like the beak, man?
Jalen Beeks, man. I after watching him pitch those two starts he made for the Red Sox, it makes me wonder what the level of talent is at Triple-A. I mean, seriously, he is dominating Triple-A hitters and then comes up here and can do nothing. So I'm all for this trade. Trade was fine, and it gives the Sox a starter they desperately need. Now you got to get at least one arm for the bullpen. Anybody getting the Craig Kimbrel has been mediocre to terrible over the last 2 months.
Well, here is Dave Dombrowski last night in the trade.
He's been part of the pennant race in the AL East. He's pitched in New York. He's been part of the experiences. So there's a lot of things we like from him. And we have watched him throw basically every outing for an extended time period. He had one bad outing against the Twins. But other than that, he's been throwing in an outstanding fashion.
So the Sox finally return home tonight to take on the Twins. First pitch is at 7:10. Look for Bird. He will be there waving in the field and saying hello. And this happened with
kicking ass as soon as someone tries to, if you try to front on him. He'll get you out of there. He'll tackle you.
I was so hoping that was him a couple of weeks ago when that video came out of one of the security guys just laying a guy out. You know, maybe some old Everett high school football flashbacks there.
He's still angry he wasn't there. He's still angry he wasn't out there making the tackle.
He was out there, but he just wasn't the guy who made the tackle.
Oh, he was on the field? I thought he told me he was writing up an incident report or something like that and was in the back.
Oh, is that? Okay, for some reason I thought he was on the field. Okay, so he was writing up an incident report. Wonder what the incident was. Like what? I would like to know, like, off the record.
Someone called.
he was just getting confused by the light flashing in front of him. What does this mean? As he stared into the abyss.
Oh, so now. Well, now there's a scene in back that they're trying to turn on the ringer.
We're trying to turn the ringer on, so when it does ring, it will actually alert people in the room that it's ringing.
Well, I mean, but we can tell without a ringer sound.
Nick really didn't have a problem with this. Nick just sat there and answered calls.
Rich, you're looking at the phone. Why would you?
Maybe like, that's the problem.
If Fred and I, while doing a show, are able to function and still know when
the ringer doesn't go off when it's ringing. Like, while we're on the air.
I mean, and I don't even have the call screener up. I just have the phone in front of me.
Right. So I've got a computer that shows that, you know, someone's on the line. Fred's got a phone in front of him.
I see it off to my left here.
And yet we somehow manage to do a show and know when someone is on hold, yet he needs the actual sound, which is... just
peak bird.
Just wonderful.
It's helpful.
It is helpful. By the way, this happened with the Yankees last night.
There's the 3-2. Struck him out swinging. Ball game over. And Tampa wins.
Time to drink. Time for that long trip back to Fort Lee and my soaps.
Time to go back. Did you follow the whole Gary Sanchez story by any chance? I mean, did you see any of it on the news? I know it wasn't.
He was not hustling.
Well, it was funny because... you saw what happened. Like, he was running towards first, and he thought that whoever was running to second base was going to be tagged out. So he was like, I just won't even try. And then when the guy made it and he was safe, then he's put
it
on
was
the
Hicks.
Jets.
Yeah, it was Hicks.
Hicks. That's right.
Yeah.
And then he put on the Jets and started running to first, and he was ended up being called out. So then immediately the next day, they're like, oh, well, you know, his groin was strained. So we're going to put him on the DL. And all these people are like, don't you feel bad now for criticizing Gary Sanchez?
No.
Ever heard of a phantom DL injury?
Yeah.
Like one that just makes everyone else look better? It takes the pressure off Aaron Boone to have to sit down with this guy and say, hey, why don't you actually try when you're out there?
When you're hitting 188 on the season.
Just coming from somebody who has been watching what happened or watched what happened with Pablo Sandoval around here, I think we're fairly familiar with the phantom DL. And I loved how it was like everyone on Twitter was like, don't you feel bad now for criticizing the hustle? No. If his groin hurt, then how did he all of a sudden go from 0 to 60 halfway down the baseline? How did he all of a sudden turn the Jets on once he found out that there was a chance that he could have made it to first if he tried, if he actually hustled? So that was an interesting story. So the Yankees are obviously covering themselves in glory as they lose again last night.
All right, Rich, what else do we have coming up?
Well, Gronk speaks, Jimmy Garoppolo speaks, and all sorts of shenanigans.
That's right, the big Garoppolo situation that I had my eye on. With the lady with the big butt. You had to like that, Johnny. That had to be right up your alley.
I read the article. I saw the pictures.
Were you aware of who the porn star was
No,
before?
I was not aware of her work beforehand, no.
It's amazing the amount of pornography that I watch. And anytime someone famous, short of Lisa Ann, who was just, you couldn't, I mean, not be aware of her. You didn't even have to watch porn. But short of that, I am completely unaware of who the porn star was. Like Stormy Daniels, even though she had been in here. I've never watched one of her movies to my knowledge. So, he was with a big booty porn star.
Mm-hmm. And he's also getting some sexy texts from Bill Belichick, apparently.
Yes.
That was the best story that came out of everything this past week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. You got to hang on to that lady. All right. Here are the headlines.
Kutcher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Kutcher and Rich. 617-779-0985. Recently, I made a comment saying that Cindy Mancini was the woman in the back of the car during Can't Buy Me Love. I'm being told I was incorrect.
Actually, you said just one of the guys.
Oh, no. I meant Can't Buy Me Love.
Okay, that's probably what you're about to get.
All right, Dawn, go ahead.
Yeah, so Fred, you just had a little bit mixed up and you just corrected yourself, is that Cindy Mancini was in Can't Buy Me Love and Joyce Heiser was in Just One of the Guys with the real Karate Kid, William Zabka.
Yes, and where he would put on the wrestling gloves and he would turn over the tables.
Absolutely. And so then the other thing about Can't Buy Me Love is that Cindy Mancini, Amanda Peterson, is actually now dead.
Yes, I know. She had a very difficult life after the movie. Drug addiction.
Yeah. Real quick, Dawn, how do you spell your name?
Dawn, D-O-N.
Okay. All right.
Birdheaded is D-A-W-N.
See, we thought you were a female, you see.
The minute you picked up and I heard a guy.
That's a problem,
like,
yeah.
I thought Bird thought it was a female. You sound
no,
that's nothing like a female.
John, be quiet for a second. He just leaned over and said, I thought it was a female.
Doesn't sound at all like a female.
You do not.
Doesn't sound anything like a female, but there you go. Thank you for the information.
Thank you, DAWN, for calling in this morning. Oh, well, Jesus. Today is the first running of the fans of the 2018 Patriots season. That special day when thousands of people clad in Edelman jerseys and armed with lawn chairs and gigantic Slurpee mugs barrel each other over to be the first one to quite possibly catch a glimpse of Tom Brady maybe looking at them. Do you remember when people were showing up with the VIP on Swole signs when Merriweather was still there?
Yes.
That was pretty phenomenal. As they, and every single year the video, it never ceases to amaze me. Of all the camps, like you see kind of the sad camps, you know, where the Browns and people like that have with the Patriots. It's just a massive humanity. Are Beadle and Zoe broadcasting from down there?
Yep. They are.
Okay, all right. Well, they will be down there. Well, the Patriots is going to be the camp in full swing today, just one day after Dan the Fro Shaughnessy had his way with Bill Belichick. We will have him on at 8:20. But yesterday it was time to talk to some of the other players, including a guy who is on the not physically able to perform list. Is that right about Matt Slater?
Yes, that's brand new.
That's absolutely correct.
Not able to perform science experiments.
There was a bit of a problem with a Bunsen burner.
Field Yates of ESPN is reporting this, yes.
Okay, well, he was asked yesterday about one of the more controversial topics here in the offseason, that being the national anthem, and here is what Matthew Slater... By the way, Matthew Slater, very controversial answer here. Let's hear what he had to say.
Yeah, I can't really get into what I've been involved in, what I haven't. You know, I'll say this. We all know, you know, how that issue has affected our league, our country. You know, as a Christian, I believe it's my responsibility to show people the love of Christ and how I deal with them in my relationships, to invest in our youth, to invest in people and the human side of things. And that's the way I'm going to handle it. I can only speak for how I'm going to handle it. And I'm always going to be viewing things through a Christ-centered lens, and that's how I'm going
to
move forward.
Not sure really what that meant or what that had to do with the national anthem, but either
way. You
got
the JC card. You kind of get away with anything.
It's interesting. I'm a man of science and a man of the Lord.
See, I thought of him maybe with one of the guys with the fish on the back that says Darwin in the middle of it.
Yeah, so I have that, and then I also have an Isaac Asimov. Okay. And at the side of the car.
Yes, he does.
Yes, both can coexist. Trust me. Trust me, they can both exist beautifully.
Well, Rob Gronkowski was cornered by the MMQB, and he was asked a couple of questions yesterday, one of them being the biggest storyline this offseason for you is, of course, about you debating the possibility of retiring. How serious was that consideration and what ultimately went into your decision to return for another season? And Gronk answered, I was seeing how I was recovering, how my body was feeling, taking a little break mentally and physically from the game, just seeing how I felt and seeing if I wanted to do it another year and if I was able to endure another season. That was the main thing. And then I feel like I'm ready to go physically and mentally. Then he turned into Rob Gronkowski again. I want to read this to you, and I want you to tell me whether or not Gronk was trying to make a joke or this is just Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, I've read this, so yes. Go ahead.
So someone asked me, says, I know Tom likes to get guys out on the field away from the team in the offseason. Gronkowski says, who's Tom? And they answer, your quarterback. And he goes, oh, I thought you meant Tom and Jerry. Yeah.
That was just really stupid.
No. I really like want
one reference to, Tom. His one other reference to Tom was Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry.
Like he couldn't think like Tom Bosley from the Grave to Happy Days.
That would have been great. Tom Bosley? That's Tom a great Bosley reference.
No, but just like Tom.
No.
I know you meant Tom and Jerry. I wish I was only one guy and it was on paper. I wish I could hear if there was audible laughter on that. Like, oh, well, that's a real knee slapper.
I would have laughed from confusion. I would have been like, that's what you whipped out there was Tom and Jerry?
That's not all I whipped out. Oh.
See, that would have been kind of nice. He said, we get together every single year. He's been doing that since before I was in the NFL. He was doing it when he was 25 and I was 2 years old. Then he
that was a joke.
He was asked, Danny Amendola left the team this offseason. You had an Instagram post where you wrote, be happy, be free. What did you mean by that? And he said, that's for the whole world. That would be amazing if the whole world was free and happy. I love life. All right, Gronk.
Beautiful.
Gronk is back with all this poetry. But Jimmy Garoppolo sat down yesterday at the big 49ers press conference, and what do you think one of the first questions he was asked was?
Was, hey, how about them porn chicks?
What are you doing with her?
A lot has come out about Jimmy Garoppolo and some of the trade and the fallout from that.
Oh, actually, that's Bill Belichick asking about Jimmy Garoppolo. Here's Jimmy Garoppolo answering about it.
You know, life is different now. My life off the field, I've never really been big on, you know, being very public with things, you know, even social media. I'm not out there a ton, but, you know, my life's looked at differently. I'm under a microscope, and it's like Kyle said, it is a good learning experience. Just have to take it in stride. I mean, it is what it is.
It's Coach Kyle Shanahan. They said, hey, what camp are you doing?
By the way, I like that he didn't do it on social media when you know for, I'll bet you $1 million that they met through social media. That he went, hey, I enjoy pleasuring myself to this woman.
Sure, he slipped into her DMs, as they like to say.
Right.
He found her on Twitter, contacted her, and then, of course, she immediately calls TMZ and says, this is where we're going to be. Take the pictures. I got to boost my profile. Come out, and here we go. And
Which is so counterintuitive to what you should be doing if you're a porn girl, is that you should be keeping things low and then, you know, having an opportunity to date these guys.
So here's Kyle Shanahan, the coach, addressing who Jimmy Garoppolo dates.
I never heard any of those articles. What are you talking about? No, I think that goes, I mean, yeah, you talk to people, and, you know, Jimmy's came from a place where he saw a lot of people handle that spotlight and everything. So I think Jimmy does have an idea. I think everybody has an idea of how you should handle that spotlight, but not everyone's in that spotlight. Never in my life commented on a player's date in July, so I'm not going to start today. But because I don't think it really pertains or matters to us. But I do think that is a very good example. And even though you know sometimes you got to learn how under the microscope we all are. But I think that's a good learning experience for him. And he's got to know what comes with that stuff.
Okay, I didn't see the entire Jimmy Garoppolo press conference, believe it or not. Did anybody ask him about the texts from Bill Belichick after every game? Did anybody? Because if nobody asked him about that, what the hell are they doing? That is the weirdest story that's come out of all of this, is that Bill Belichick, after each one of his wins, would text him like this, hey there, great job out there slinging it around. I miss you, LOL. And he would shoot these off, and I guarantee you he didn't do that for Hoyer. I guarantee you he didn't do that for Castle.
Did you see the fanny on this chick? Take her to this restaurant at this time.
He's like, say, hey, you know, I'm taking pointers from you there. Maybe I'll hook up with one of her friends. John Wallach got any suggestions?
Cherokee. It's always John.
I have my phone here.
Cherokee. Did anybody ask him about that?
No. I watched the entire thing. It's almost 10 minutes long. And they were asking him about like 7-on-7 drills and who he hung out with in the summertime to throw with. It took like 5 minutes for them to ask about the porn chick and all the Brady article and all that stuff. It was a really terrible press conference.
This is a major market. I mean, San Francisco is what, 2, 3? I mean,
4.
Yeah, whatever it is. Bigger than here.
You know what's going to happen? Malcolm Butler's going to probably speak to the press for the first time today, and no one's going to ask him about the Super Bowl. No one's going to ask him about Belichick.
No
I
one's
got
the
you.
Balls of the Sean man who's going to be on at 8:20.
That's right. The fro shaking things. I saw him like all over yesterday.
Yeah.
He made a little name for himself yesterday.
The fro quite literally shaking things up. Going in there and ruffling some curls.
Yep.
All right. Rich, what else do we have on the way?
All right. Once again, Kevin Durant proves that he is one of the most thin-skinned athletes in all of sports.
All right. We'll hear all about that. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And by the way, your smart speaker at home can get you the 98.5 The Sports Hub. All you have to say is listen to 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And it's just that easy.
I get emails and they're bitching about us not being on TV. And to that, I would say, yeah, that's why we left TV.
Just listen to us. You got the app, which works really well, the 98.5 Sports Hub app.
And then the smart, your smart speakers, you go over there and you say, listen to 98.5 The Sports Hub. I mean, the idea that you bitch about us not being on TV is that we didn't want you watching us on TV.
Just listen to us.
Yeah.
And there's easy ways to do it, not only on your radio, but on those two things we just mentioned.
And if pictures are necessary, we will have them up at 985thesportshub.com.
Or at Fred Tutcher, his Instagram account, or my Twitter account.
Right. So don't worry about that. We have a big announcement, by the way, coming up at 8 o'clock about a big contest we got going up until football season starts.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. This should be a lot of fun. That's going to be 8 o'clock. We will do that. But in the meantime, Kevin Durant just continues to prove that that dude has the thinnest skin in all of sports. Now, what do we know about Kevin Durant so far? One being that he had a burner account in which he would just basically rip on people who were ripping on him. And then one day he forgot to, I guess, switch from one account to the next, and under his own personal account he tweeted the exact same thing as the fake account, and of course he got busted. He admitted it after that. For the past couple of years, I guess ever since going to the Golden State Warriors, has been extremely defensive. And then this all happened yesterday. So CJ McCollum, the guard for the Portland Trailblazers, he has a podcast, and he invited Kevin Durant to sit down and talk to him about what it means to be a winner in the NBA, and this exchange happened.
Nah, you know how I felt, bro. I was hot. I don't know if I was more mad than when you went to go. I think I was more mad.
Why are you mad about this stuff?
They're discussing him deciding to go to the Golden State Warriors.
Right.
When he went to the Golden State Warriors, CJ McCollum said, I was pissed.
Nah, you know how I felt, bro. I was hot. I don't know if I was more mad than when you went to go. I think I was more mad.
Why are you mad about this stuff?
Bro, I'm in the league. What do you mean? Why am I mad about this? I'm in the Western Conference. I got to play you MFers all the time anyway, as it is, over and over again. We done got eliminated by y'all a few times in the first round. So I'm looking at cuz.
I mean, you know you know you guys aren't going to win a championship.
Bro, we have the team. We have the capabilities. Anything is possible. We can win a championship, bro.
I mean, let's be honest.
Bro, we can win a championship. Anything is possible.
I need more. I mean, I like y'all. I like y'all too. You're hard to stop, but I mean, come on. You can't be upset about this.
I can be upset because Cuz was a free agent, which means he could have. This is why I was upset. He could have came to Portland. His agent and Nurk have the same agents, so I'm thinking, okay, you ain't gonna come to us. Whatever. Why you gotta go there, Cuz? I text him. I was mad. I got on Twitter.
Yo, get out your feelings.
And I really text Cuz. I'm like, Cuz, what's up, bro? Like, why? Like, what?
Yo, you're the first person I've seen.
Why did this happen?
Who says, I was crying on Twitter when you seen that.
No, people thought I was playing. I was a real text cuz.
No, that was funny.
We hashed it out. I needed to know what was going on. I wanted to know why.
You want him to come to Portland?
Bro, I think that anything is possible, bro. I'm just saying, man. You're trying to get me in trouble. I'm happy with Nurk. Nurk's a great big man for us. Nurk's playing well.
I mean, you did just say on the airwaves, I mean, you might cut it out, but that you just said that he should have came to Portland. So you didn't want Nurk?
Of course I want Nurk.
Okay. But you'd rather
DeMarcus. We could have had both of them.
Y'all not getting both.
Y'all only paid him $5 million. We had 12 to $15 million in cap.
No way it's happening. Y'all, it ain't going to be no. It's got to have a nice yin and yang, bro. It's going to be too much of one thing. With y'all. So stop that.
So what do you suggest?
I suggest you just keep playing, man, and don't worry about what goes on at the top of things.
We were right there at the top of things. We was a third seed last year, bro. We was right there. We was just slightly below 1-2.
But man, how'd you play?
Some unfortunate situations happened in the first round.
How'd you play?
Some unfortunate circumstances.
Like an 8 seed.
You played like an 8 seed.
Beat by New Orleans in round one quickly.
See, so, I don't think that has anything to do with Durant being thin-skinned.
No, that's not where he was thin-skinned. I like what Kevin Durant did there. I thought it was pretty funny. He was busting his balls. That's not where he was thin-skinned.
All right.
What happened afterwards, it got extremely petty. So somebody had tweeted, one of the guys from Barstool tweeted CJ McCollum and said, hey, permission to start using the B word again for Kevin Durant. And so CJ McCollum tweets back and says, I still think the B word is harsh and shouldn't be used. He know that decision was soft, but I respect it. It's like getting jumped with your brothers by a gang. You should have beat them joining the gang that jumped you and your brothers 2 months later and forgetting about your bros. And to that, 30 minutes later, Kevin Durant responds and he goes, so I would get into a gang fight, lose, plot on my brother for 2 months in our home, and then go and get the gang we lost to and beat him up. You think that low of me, CJ? I just did your effing podcast. Snake in the grass, boy, I tell you. And so after that, somebody responded to him and said, hey, all your criticism should just be, I'm happy. That's all that matters. Nothing more. Keep it simple. And Kevin Durant tweeted back and said, so they can keep talking, but I have to shut up. Sounds fishy to me, but you know that. I'm not even allowed to be on here since I'm in the NBA. Let me fall back. My bad.
And then he tweeted back to the guy, seeing that you think ball is life, bro, you don't even hoop. Relax. And then he said he was done with the subject, but then someone else tweeted. He goes, okay, last tweet. So me talking about my life is sensitive, and you talking about my life is with question marks. So he just continued to go back and forth, and then CJ McCollum had to tweet after a while. There's no feud. Y'all got to chill. It was simply an analogy. I'm done speaking on KD and the Warriors because it's childish of me to do so. I've always said what I feel, but we all know I've never been a snake in the grass. Back to the grind. I mean, it was like he just couldn't wait to see what people are saying on Twitter about him, and he just continues to fight with these guys. You'll never win. You'll never win, Kevin Durant, when
McCollum
you do that.
McCollum looks just as bad, though.
I don't understand. No, McCollum was honest with him on a podcast. I don't think he looks bad at all. What I'm
saying,
I
don't think either one of them on the podcast looks bad. No, I actually thought that was kind of entertaining.
I don't know why Durant insists on being on Twitter. All it does is screw him up. He doesn't need to be on it.
And he constantly gets in, he looks bad. Like, he gets in trouble because he had the dual identities and the fake accounts. And then he continues to get in these fights, and he just looks petty.
Yeah, and so don't go on Twitter. Don't just get off of it.
Dude,
how is it helping him market himself? It's not. So get off of it. It literally does nothing positive for him.
Well, it just shows that he realizes and knows that he'll forever be known as the guy who was the ring chaser.
Right.
I mean, and he's very sensitive to it, but that's unfortunately in his head. Like, if he didn't say anything, you would think, okay, well, maybe he's just happy with the fact that he was finally able to get his ring and contribute. He's, you know, MVP of the finals, blah, 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 blah. But this proves to me that that dude realizes that he knows what he did, and he knows that everybody else realizes that he was a guy who just went ring chasing and got on the biggest, strongest team because it was the easiest way there.
Right. Yeah. Well,
and it's killing him. And it's killing him.
Well, it would kill him a lot less if he got off of Twitter and just forgot about it.
You would think so, but he keeps saying he's going to, but he never does.
Well, then that's a problem.
it's a massive problem.
I don't understand why they just don't. He goes to a psychiatrist, and they just go, here, give me the phone, take it away.
All right, we're going to.
Here's a burner account. Not a burner account. Here's a burner phone. Just, you know, you don't need one that links up to the web.
All right. We are going to switch things up. Instead, next, we got to get to Rob Gronkowski on Shark Week, and also another guy who was on Shark Week, a certain wild man who likes to drive his sweet car around with his frosted tips and throw donkey sauce everywhere.
Just ride the damn sharks himself. Just hang on to the fin and say, see you later.